You've been listening to the Sunday Morning Worship Service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday Morning Worship Service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. We are continuing. Well, first of all, welcome to worship. Why don't you say hi to one another? A few people here taking weekends, and they're visiting some of us Thursday people. Say hello. And we're continuing with the theme that connects to the gospel reading, which is the Bread of Life readings. And the bread of life really is filled with wisdom, and that's what we're going to be talking about today in the sermon through the Proverbs reading. Please take the time to sign the guest registers that are near you. We're also doing something special since we have a special Sunday service over at the tent, over at the school on Sunday. So I could do something different tonight. Well, okay, let's see how well you do. Not the biggest deal in the world. If you really want to follow with the music, you can go to page 215, and it's evening prayer vespers. If you want to follow there, we're not going to sing everything, but please join in. When we get to the hymn of light, I'll try to sing the first verse for you, because that's brand new to us, and you can join on two or three as you're able. Please stand. Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
Light and darkness can overcome.
Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening.
And the day is almost over.
Be our light and scatter the darkness.
And hear our evening prayer and grace.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship today. Pastor Tim Kuski will bring us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading from Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, Fear of the Lord. Join us now in singing Hymn of Light on page 216 from the Christian Worship Hymnal.
A fading.
O Lord our God, King of the universe, who led your people Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, enlighten our darkness by the light of your Christ. May his word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, for you are merciful and you love your whole creation. We, your creatures, glorify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated for singing of Psalm 141. I think this is familiar to us.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Let the incense of our prayers rise before you, O Lord, and let your mercy descend on us, that we may sing your praises with the church on earth and forever in heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Our epistle lesson for today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And like I said, we're talking about wisdom today. And it's not an earthly wisdom. There's plenty of earthly wisdom out there. And most of it's pretty good. But this is the wisdom of grace. The wisdom that comes motivated by God's love and his love for his creatures. And this is the love that is the greatest wisdom of all. We read from 1 Corinthians 2. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, but it is not a wisdom of this world or of the rulers of this world who are being reduced to nothing. Instead, we speak God's wisdom that has been hidden in mystery before the ages. God foreordained that this wisdom would result in our glory. None of the rulers of this world knew it. If they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen and no ear has heard and no human mind has conceived, that is what God has prepared for those who love him. But God revealed it to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Indeed, who among men knows a man's thoughts except the man's spirit within him? So also, no one else knows God's thoughts except God's Spirit. What we received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we might know the blessings freely given to us by God. We also speak about these things, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual truths with spiritual words. However, an unspiritual person does not accept the truths taught by God's Spirit because they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually evaluated. But the spiritual person evaluates all things, and he himself is evaluated by no one. Indeed, who has known the mind of the Lord? Who will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The word of the Lord. We continue with our Psalm 111. And I'm going to do this a little differently today too. See what you think about it. Please don't be afraid to comment afterwards. I'd like you all to read it with me. Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will thank the Lord with all my heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Great are the deeds of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic is his work, and his righteousness stands forever. He has set up a memorial to his wonders. Gracious and compassionate is the Lord. He gives food to those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has declared the power of his deeds to his people, to give them the nations as their possession. The works of his hands are truth and justice. All his precepts are trustworthy, steadfast forever and ever, done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption for his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who do his precepts have good understanding. His praise stands forever. This also is a lesson of the Lord from Psalm 111. Please rise for the gospel lesson. Here is Jesus talking about himself as the bread of life. This is not talking about communion, but it is talking about how much commitment Christ has toward us, that he gives his whole self for us all. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. The one who comes to me will never be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have also seen me, and you do not believe. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews started grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They asked, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, stop grumbling among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. I'm not saying that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He is the one who has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I tell you. The one who believes in me has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that anyone may eat it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. Bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The gospel of the Lord, we pray. Lord God, grant us your Holy Spirit that we may hear and believe your word, cleanse our minds and renew our hearts, that we may live for you here and hereafter. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. Please be seated for our hymn 642, A Word of God Incarnate. Hymn 642, A Word of God Incarnate. Praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave. Dear people of the promise, just so you're aware, I'm going to be reading a few extra verses here from Proverbs. I'm going to go all the way to verse 10 because it really connects with another reading. But I'm going to start out with a little bit of interesting wisdom from my parents, which I think they got from Mark Twain, of all things. One time in particular, there was an injustice that was done to me by my parents. My brother had lost the paper route money, and we were both in the same room. And it was the end of school, and Dad was tense because he helped run a school. And he thought it wise to ask me about this matter to see if I took the money. It was a bunch of checks. I wouldn't have known how, at that age, I was about 10, and I wouldn't have known how to cash them. But Dad decided that, well, if Peter did it, wasn't very smart of him, and if Tim did it, it was certainly very dishonest. So this is what we're going to do, guys. We're going to meet down here every day, and you're going to get a whack on the bottom till we find that money. All right. This went on for about a week. My brother was going through his school books that he forgot to return to school, and he opens up the front cover of one, and wouldn't you know, right there, all the checks were in there. Oh, I heard about that. You know where I ran, didn't you? I went right to Dad. And I said, Dad, I didn't do that. You thought I didn't do that, you know? And Dad said, yep, sure enough. Pete admits that's where he put them. It's in his book. And but tell you what, Tim, why don't you take that for all the times I didn't catch you? Wasn't much I could say at that point. He was absolutely right. I had that character when I was little and still have a little bit of gleam in my eye now and again. If you go through Mark Twain, my dad was well-read. There was an incident much like that. And you know, it's wisdom. There's some neat wisdom there. He understood that I was a sinful human being and that I needed to understand that I'm a sinful human being, and all that came through for me. But today we're going to partake of divine understanding and wisdom. And it concludes with that very important phrase, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm going to read for you Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has carved out her seven pillars. She has prepared her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has already set her table. She has sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest point in the city. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To someone who lacks sense, she says, come eat my food and drink the wine that I have mixed. Abandon your naive, I'm going to put the word simple, ways, and live. Travel the road to understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. And whoever warns a wicked person invites abuse. Do not warn a mocker or he will hate you. Warn a wise person and he will love you. Give advice to a wise person and he will become even wiser. Teach a righteous person. He will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. This is God's word. God had Solomon write these words almost 3,000 years ago now. And that whole book of Proverbs is something that still gives good advice to people today. It's what I encourage people to read on a daily basis. It's just one where you can read a couple of verses and contemplate on them, and after you figure out the riddle of the way it's written, it can really make some good sense. really help you through things. Wisdom. And we heard it twice today, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This, of course, is that fear of love and respect for God, of faith in Him. Wisdom is to know who your God is, to believe and trust in your God. Here, God personifies wisdom and her great benefits. So, who is your God? Well, we could probably say a lot of things from our catechism. He is the ultimate, independent, all-powerful being. Well, what does your society attribute to God? Many only talk about God when there's a disaster and try to indicate that God must be dead because he's not coming to help out. Others make God to be a disinterested, godfatherly, grandfatherly figure who doesn't have all his faculties, but he is very kindly. So I like to edit and correct God because, well, you know, God's just old and he doesn't know what's going on today. In this way, they place themselves above God. But God very much appreciates that wisdom in verses 7 and 8. I want to look back at those if you get a chance. Well, you don't have them in front of you, but whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever warns a wicked person invites abuse. But God is the ultimate in mercy. And that's what we need to understand. That even those who do mock him, those who don't believe in him, he wants to rescue them too. And so his wisdom is founded and based in grace and mercy, rescuing those who flee to him. And true wisdom understands that God doesn't need editing, and he doesn't need to come a-running every time there's a little fire. God offers us wisdom for this world, so that we can be in the world that never ends. Wisdom has been prepared. I love the way it describes wisdom as that woman who is a rich woman and she's preparing a great banquet and she invites everybody. She calls from the top part of the city. She sends out her maids to call out, say, this is for everyone. Come and get it. I don't know about you, but if someone said, hey, there's a nice chicken meal with some mashed potatoes, I'd come a-running, you know. It's kind of what she's doing, isn't it? Won't have to cook tonight, you know. This is the way God has done it. God has prepared a most wonderful table. He's given us the bread of life from our gospel lesson, and that is Christ Jesus himself. She has the best of everything. Wisdom is what really helps us through life. I love to tell the story of when I was in college and we theology students would sit in front of the TV on our break time, which is right around noon, and we'd watch the soap operas. Soap operas don't exist unless they make dumb decisions, right? And so we were practicing our Proverbs when we took our sponge bricks and threw them at the TV. Oh, don't do that! No, don't do that! Proverbs gives us great wisdom for this life, but it's a life that is based in eternal life. That's what Christ has prepared for us by giving us the bread of life. When we eat of him, when we take him as he is, when we take him whole and not changed, we have the tree of life. This is how special and wonderful this meal is. But isn't it interesting how she sends them out? Come to me, all you who are naive, the word is there. In a previous translation, it was simple. Inexperienced would be a good synonym for that. There's that time in our lives when we think we know everything and we've grown up to do most of our things and This is what the book of Proverbs is for. For when the evil and struggles of the world try to fool you into doing things that will ruin the rest of your life, and he gives us the advice ahead of time. He's written it down. He's put it in stone. And he said, this is the way for you to live. And when you live this way, it will be good for your long term, for your life forever, for your life here. This is what God offers. And what does he want us to do? He wants us to do exactly what those maids are doing. Those of us who love the wisdom of God, we ought to do exactly what they are doing. Invite, invite, invite. We need to go about building a church. Not a building. We have a nice building already. But building up living stones, souls who stand next to each other and support one another, just like stones in the walls of our church hold each other up, and make a place for God to dwell, a temple where God dwells in our midst, to have him live in us and with us. That's what that wisdom that comes from God is. God living in us through our faith and trust in him. Be those living stones which are built into the temple in which Christ lives. Well, I already teased about good chicken, but how about this one? You get a letter in the mail, and it's on the finest paper, and it invites you to come to Warren Buffett's house for a meal and a talk. All right? What's the first thing you're going to do? I'm going to go find my friend Jeff, who lives in Michigan, and say, hey, did you send this to me? You've given me, pulling my leg, you know? It's the first thing I'm going to do. But imagine if he actually sent you the letter. One of the richest men in the world. He wants to talk to you. Invites you to dinner. Would you believe him? Would you go? Would you show up? Would it be worth it just to go down to Nebraska? I think that's where he lives. To Nebraska and show up at his front lawn and say, hi, I got this invitation. You know? I think it'd be worth it. I'd have fun doing that. In this case, notice who's inviting you. Wisdom herself, wisdom personified. It's really God who, through his word, gives out this invitation. And she made an effort to invite everyone. Come in, leave your simple ways. He's calling, she's making it very public. She's calling from the highest point in all the city. And so, you know, one of those, you know, hey, come to my party, simple people. And of course, you're the first one to go because, yeah, I'm going to admit, I'm the simplest person around. All right. But that's what's happening here. God says, hey, I've got something really good for you to learn from. And you can do better than you did before. I could learn from Warren Buffett, you know. God can give me blessings through his word, through his wisdom. The wise understand that they will always need some more instruction. Did you see that part in verses 8 and 9? Let me just find that again for us. Give advice to a wise person, he'll become even wiser. Warn a wise person, and he will love you. Teach a righteous person, he will add to his learning. The wise person understands he doesn't know everything. The wise person understands that he still needs encouragement, that over time he can still grow in his faith and his knowledge of the Lord. That's what a true wise man is. It's sad to see our world and how much our world thinks it's so wise. I'm listening to a biography of Winston Churchill, and it made it pretty clear that he declared that he was not a Christian. He said, I support the church, but I'm not a pillar of the church. I'm a buttress. I support it from the outside. He never talked about Christ, never expressed his faith, and certainly talked about how really, it's those who are really good that get there, so it's work righteousness for him. I don't know if we'll see him in heaven. Very wise man. Amazing, amazing wisdom that came out of his mouth. And what amazing speeches. Boy, oh boy. They place a Bible near his bed in the museum that has, where it talks about him. But he quoted as saying, somebody asked him if he gets wisdom from the Bible. He says, every once in a while I'm curious and I read something, but only out of curiosity. Are we ready to be the wise person who admits that we need God's wisdom? Oh, well, before you bite, think about this. Wisdom herself said it's free. Come on, come and get it. It's free. Watching a comedy movie the other day, and the phrase was this. Well, if it's free, then it's worth saving up for. Now, don't think too hard about that one, but boy, oh boy, that's not exactly a compliment, is it? All right? If they're going to pretend to save up for it, they're not going for it, you know. Right? But this is exactly what God does for us. He offers his wisdom and his love freely. No strings attached. It's free. Our world thinks that free is worth nothing. And I'm not surprised because, you know, what the companies offer you aren't all that great, right? Do a little bit of, you know, when they want to show off their product, they'll offer you a teeny little gift. But, of course, the thing that you're going to get costs 50 times more than the little gift you got. Great, yeah, all right. And that's the way of the world. Not wrong, not bad. But it's important for us to understand why what God gives is free. It's true wisdom to understand that we can't earn our salvation. We can't earn our place in heaven. We are unable to do what is necessary to get there. And so it must be given to us as a gift out of his free grace. He had to pay for it. And you know how he paid for it. He gave his life for you. It may be free, but it certainly ain't cheap, what Christ gives. And I want you to think about that in terms of the life that we live here as Christians. Because we know who we are. We aren't always the nicest persons in the world. We're pretty good. I hear great things about you out in the streets. And yet we know who we are and what we think behind the scenes while we act nicely out front. How important for us to see the way that God loves and make that part of our wisdom. To give something most valuable, support, encouragement, and love to those who need it. And sometimes when we try, yeah, we fail, and it's maybe not welcomed or whatever else it might be, but you know what? Why don't we give freely? Freely of our heart and our lives, just as Christ did for us. It's offered to the simple, this gift of wisdom. It's offered to those who are naive and immature because you can learn from someone else. I've told many people about my young life. I had 4 older siblings who were constantly getting in trouble with my parents, and I was smart enough to see, okay, if they do it that way, they're going to get caught. So if I do it this way, I may not get caught. You know, okay, I got caught my share of times. But how important it is for us to know that we can still learn from the experiences of others, right? Let's put that into action. And that's what Proverbs is. That's what the whole Scriptures is about. It's offered to us so that we will grow and be mature. And if we're not too lazy about it, we won't remain simple. And if you're insulted by being called simple, well, then you're going to miss out on the greatest meal that's ever been given. The most wonderful gift that only God can give. Banding together around the Word of God is so important to us, so wise, that God said we got to do it, gather together once a week to do it. When we truly recognize that the message that He brings isn't about laws, but it's about forgiveness from our sins against those laws. When we understand it's about the comfort of our God who takes in sinners, who calls to those who have done bad things, who are so inexperienced they hurt themselves, then let us not be too proud to be corrected. Let's not be so great in our own eyes that we can't receive a gift. Let's not be too stubborn to see God's wisdom and His grace. This meal offers life. My father knew me very well. My mom, I think I've said this to a variety of people along the way, it was just a wonderful example and humility for me. My mom always said, I always knew he did something. I don't know what he did. My parents saw right through me. And then I teased my dad because I got raised by a guy with a psych degree while he was taking care of that school. They required him to go take classes. So he took child psychology. And by the time he got down to me, he actually had a degree in it. So I always tell him, I say, well, it didn't hurt me a bit. You know, it's so important to see the wisdom that our God really has, a wisdom that far exceeds everything in this world, a wisdom that is always free because it cannot be bought, a wisdom that comes from a gracious God who loves each and every one of us and wants us to be in heaven with Him. Let us respond to that wisdom with humble hearts, ready to learn, ready to be more wise than we were yesterday, more wise for our lives here, but most important, wise for salvation. This is the fear of the Lord. Amen. Please rise. May the Lord our God be with us as He was with our fathers. May He never leave us nor forsake us. May He turn our hearts to Him to walk in all His ways. Amen. We continue with a confession of faith in a song, the Song of Mary. I think some of you have sung it here. As you remember it, please join in.
Call me blessed.
Please remain standing. We'll continue with our prayers. I just got to make the comment, though. What a wonderful, how that really matched up with the whole theme of wisdom today. That Mary, at the age of 16 to 18, somewhere in there, could write that deep theology of faith. That's just amazing. And just wonderful that God used her for us in that way. We continue with our prayers. Gracious Father, your blessed Son came down from heaven to be the true bread that gives life to the world. Grant that Christ, the bread of life, may live in us and we in him, who live and reign with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, grant us wisdom from above. Bless us that we may soak in what we need. Grant us the attitude to receive it with joy. Encourage us by the wisdom that comes from those who love us. Help us as fellow members of your church to support and encourage those who have been challenged in this world to give up the wisdom that comes only from you. Encourage us, dear Lord, to see in our young people the next group of a wise generation to lead many more people to Christ. Bless and encourage us all that we may invite many more as those maids with personified wisdom to invite many more to be with us. All this we name. Lord God, we come to you today on behalf of a gentleman you might know of St. Paul's in North Freedom, Gary R. Meskey, who is affectionately known as Uncle Dudley. He's away this week, and he will have a celebration of life in about a year from now. But, dear Lord, we pray for those who love him. We thank you that they knew exactly where his heart and his faith were. Continue to be with them as they rejoice in the faith that guarantees eternal life. How wise he was to keep his faith strong. How wise they are to follow him. We continue with a prayer of peace. Lord God, all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works come from you. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments. Defend us also from the fear of our enemies, that we may live in peace and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And in your name we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Let us praise the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Please be seated for our final hymn, Christ, the Word of God Incarnate, selected verses.
Hymn 528. Hymn 528.
Great to have you again this weekend. The kids, of course, are, especially the young ones, are just really happy to hear that we're starting up registration this coming Sunday for school at our school over there. We are going to have a service this Sunday at 10 o'clock, not 9 o'clock. If you'd like to have a different sermon and stuff, you can go there because somebody else will be preaching. And we're going to be in a tent out there. We're going to have some music from a guy, Steve Batista, and his daughter, which is, I would compare it to kind of folksy and country kind of stuff, which just a really good mix and wonderful set. So please, if you get a chance to go again, or if you want to come check that out, we'd love to have you. But come at 10. All right. I'll be here at 9 when you come here and think, oh, I'm going to come here. And I'll put you to work. I'll send you on over there. So, but then I got to pick on Sig here and say, hey, they're serving lunch too. You don't have to cook. So, all right. Enough teasing. A lot of other things happening coming up. Please take a look at your bulletin. The back page especially. Choir's starting up pretty soon. A variety of other things. So please. Oh, we're going to try to get together a bell choir as well. If you're interested in that, talk to Sasha here. All right. Good evening to all of you. God bless.
The Sunday Morning Worship Hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 o'clock each Sunday morning on radio station Max FM, 740 AM of Baraboo, or streaming online at 99.7maxfm.com. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at the same time. The cable television rebroadcast of this service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Cable Channel 10 and TV 43. You may also listen to the sermon podcast on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook page at 9 a.m. on Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in 3-year-old preschool through the 8th grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, will be appreciated. The television program today was produced by Don Harmon. This is Brent Bailey. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
You've been listening to the Sunday Morning Worship Service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org. Thank you.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.